It's Thursday. It's a little after eight. You guys know what that means. How's it going, Thursday Warriors? It is good to see everybody. It's very good to see everybody. I'm glad we actually remembered this time or made it work at least. Is more the thing, I guess.
And it's Christmas is over.
Yeah.
We made it.
Holy crap. We
made all it. Live to fight another year.
Oh man. I'm so glad. I actually have my my second Christmas to do this weekend. My family's up in St. Mary's, so we did my in-laws last weekend. So, which was a lot of fun. I got like a ass ton of Home Depot gift cards because my screen door ripped off the front of the house during that last storm in November. So going to buy a new screen door.
Nice.
So
it's always exciting when you have like, yeah, I'm going to go buy something for me. And then it's like, ah, shit, I got to buy something stupid for the house that I don't care about.
Right. Yeah. So, but hello, Thursday Warriors. Welcome back. I am what did you call me? Honest John?
No.
Gorgeous John. I'm gorgeous John, yeah. And you're handsome Tim.
Handsome Tim.
As always, remember to like, share, comment, all I'm the actually things.
Uncle Tim today, most likely.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, my brother's, I was almost said my brother's water broke. Well, his he might have broke
meant.
A water bottle. And his wife, her water broke. So they're at the hospital awesome. Now. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you might get a New Year's Day baby.
Yeah.
Or New Year's Eve, depending on how things go. So sorry, yeah. It is really cold in my upstairs today. So I have my hood up, keep my ears warm.
That's all right. I got my little.
I know. You got your cardigan on. I love that thing, man. Yeah. It's super, super Christmassy.
It's missing one button, and someone goes, that makes it even more authentic.
It's very Clark Griswold. So
yeah.
Speaking of that, my wife found at Aldi, she found us matching Christmas pajamas that we wore for her Christmas, her family Christmas.
Okay.
So they have Clark's head on it. And it says Merry Clarksmas on the, the shirt. And then the pants have the squirrel. They're kind of like your like an ugly sweater type thing. But they have the squirrel that was in the tree. And then they also have like the moose cups. Like like the print around them. And they're really comfortable pants too. I really enjoyed them. So we got
my brother had
dogs matching stuff.
My brother had a shirt that him and his wife wore in like the maternity photos. He did like one photo with her and it was like her said, why is the carpet all wet, Todd? And his said, I don't know, Margo.
Yeah, I've seen those are hilarious. Like,
that's awesome.
Oh man, yeah, I saw those. I think one of my friends sent me a video or a link to buy those. Might have been Lauren actually up in Cranberry. But anyway, the company's done very well this year. Thank you to everybody who has helped out with that.
Yeah,
we appreciate
Ron.
You. Yeah, Ron and Dan, like both you guys, I see you everywhere spending. Thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. I know all the other stores in the area that people shop at appreciate it too. Thank you for supporting local, no matter which store it is. It's important to keep doing that. I actually had a guy say that he'd rather give us the money than Amazon today while I was at a store. And I almost teared up a little bit. And then I realized we have an Amazon store and I kind of went, oh. But
you can give Amazon the money. Just give it to our Amazon.
Just make sure it's our Amazon. We're okay.
Yeah.
So we do have one event coming up, on the 8th, or I'm sorry, actually we have two. So we have, this coming Sunday, we're going to be at the Pittsburgh Comic Swap Meet, which is put on by the guys that run, Pop Culture Comics over in Mount Royal and also down on, they have one down on, It's down by the Aldi in, like Castle Shannon. It's not Castle Shannon, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it is this coming Sunday, the 2nd of January, from 10 to 3 at the Cherry Hill Fire Hall. I think it's like $2 or $3 to get in, but it's going to be 5 hours of crazy comic madness. I will be there with my wares and a rack. Ooh. So come and buy some stuff. I know it's going to be heavy comic book stuff. Great way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
What time does it start?
10 o'clock.
Oh, damn.
Cool. And then the following Saturday, the 8th, we have our anniversary sale going on at our Ohio Valley store, which has been awesome. That store's had its record year this year. Not that every other store pretty much didn't either, but you know what I mean? That store is like 6 years old, so it's kind of nice to have a record year for it. So come and check that out. There's going to be discounts on graphic novels, toys, dollar books, and I think Silver Age. I think Silver Age wall books, I think, something like that. Still, a lot of fun. Come check it out. So, all right. I guess we can talk some comics real quick. My reviews are going to be real quick because I'm like...
Mine too.
Not like... It's been a long day.
I'm still... even though Christmas is over, I'm still like recovering. And we did like... We had like a massive day yesterday. And then I was only there till 5 today. And it seemed like it was going to be close to matching yesterday. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's before or after that Hulk book sold.
Even take that Hulk book away, it was still a really good day.
No, that's what I meant. Like
oh.
As good as it with or without the Hulk book.
Oh, without the Hulk book. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's like, still good.
We did like regular Wednesday numbers for comics, which was weird because there was like 3 Marvel books out. There was not a lot of books out this week. So
I think a lot of people came and picked up multiple weeks worth of stuff because they were just behind because of the holiday. So all right. Well, I'm going to go first here. I don't know which one's up first. Oh, cool. Swamp Thing. So Swamp Thing, Green Hell, Jeff Lemire. As you guys know, I'm not a big Jeff Lemire fan, but this book was pretty good. It takes place somewhere in the future. And the rot, the green, and the red are deciding that all the toxins in the air and stuff aren't working the right way. So they decide to kill a bunch of the humans because they're overrunning the planet, and the rot needs them to survive, which then feeds the green, which then feeds the red, which is why they keep them in cycle. But the red can't kill them because they are like animal life and human life, and the rot doesn't have a physical form to do it. So they send their swamp, the Parliament of Green sends a swamp thing to kill them. And he's like this crazy, weird mutant swamp thing. And he just kind of like skewers people and wraps tentacles around them and crushes their brains and all kinds of stuff. And the family that it kind of focuses on in the story, they run into this older guy named George, and George is like, come with me, I think I know somebody that can help. And you eventually see that they lead them to John Constantine. And Constantine is like, it's like old man Constantine. He's got like white hair, but he's still sitting in that, like in a chair, smoking. And he talks about how he's known George since 28. Which, you know, if Constantine looks like he does now in our time, that has to be 2028, which is even more in the future. That's why I said this is in the future. So he conjures to help defend the people, like the Alec Holland swamp thing, because they're buddies, except that Alec Holland was basically in heaven, and now he's pissed off because he made him come back into a physical form as Swamp Thing to help him deal with stuff. Overall, I really enjoyed this book, but it took like 4 or 5 pages to kind of get into it. It started off a little slow, but I did enjoy it. I do like Swamp Thing a lot. And the art in it's very, very good. And it's that big black label oversized stuff. That's really cool. So make sure you guys go check it out. It's pretty good.
I feel like there's going to be a time where like just all of DC's are just the big oversized. They do everyone, so many of them.
Everyone gets a black label. Well, everyone should get a black label at some point.
I don't know. Did you set it up so I can share?
Oh crap! Yeah, hold on. I got to do that.
All right.
My bad. Vamp, while I do something.
So, how? Hey guys. Good. Hey, good. What's up? Oh, okay.
You didn't need to vamp that long. Come on. Ooh,
I killed the time. Real good. Just super, super, super well. Okay, so my first book is this. Devil's Reign. So I did the first one, and the first one kind of ends with him mutilating Purple Man a little bit. And that's where this one kind of opens up. I didn't realize what he was doing with Purple Man. I thought it was kind of like, hey, I'm killing you because somehow you were used to help me forget things. What he's doing is he's working with Dr. Octopus, and Dr. Octopus has Purple Man trapped inside a gigantic gem that looks very similar to the one on Wilson Fisk's cane. And Wilson Fisk has part of his finger in the gem in his cane, which is allowing him to kind of tap into, I guess, the power of Purple Man. And he can't control people, but he can very like heavily persuade people. So that's how he's hoping to keep the election. But this is kind of like the roundup issue that they did in Civil War, where everybody's just getting round up. So like, you know, Reed and Sue are already in jail. Reed's about to get stabbed by a prisoner. They're in a jail in the ocean. No clue where that jail came from, but it's in the ocean. And Sue naturally has to come to his aid and beat somebody up, even though they don't have powers. You know, it's like I said, it's mostly like a catch and grab kind of issue, and you're seeing little bits of everybody. But the main story, what's going on now, is that Tony Stark, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, they have all made their way to the old Avengers mansion, which is kind of like open to the public. But the basement area is still active, and that's where they're going to kind of set up shop so they can try and take him down. And they decide that Tony, who said he was going to run for mayor, is actually the worst person for the job. Not because they think that he's a terrible person, but they think Luke Cage is better because he's on the streets every day. Everybody knows him. He doesn't wear a mask, has never worn a mask. In a panel earlier, Tony's trying to bribe these kids to stop them from taking pictures, and Luke Cage just comes up and levels with them, and then they stop. So you see that he has like that respect from people. So they're going to use him to go up against Wilson Fisk, which I think is kind of interesting. But all along, Doc Ock has these plans that he's putting into place. And he's sitting there and he's talking about how it doesn't matter what Wilson's plans are. His plans are good, but mine are superior. And you see behind him in the Forever Gate, Wolverine with Doc Ock arms coming out of his back.
Ooh.
And then behind Wolverine is a Hulk with like these mutated arms coming out of his back. And then next to him is a Ghost Rider with chain arms coming out of his back. So I'm not sure, that's kind of where it stops. I'm not sure what's going on with those characters. If there are versions of them, like the 616, or if they're just people he pulled from other dimensions. But it looks pretty interesting. But overall, it was like a really quick read because it was just kind of like the, here's everybody that we're capturing and putting in jail kind of thing. So I expect the next issue to probably start to pick up a little bit more since it's the halfway point. But
nice.
Yeah. Cool. Boom, stop. I remembered.
I dig it.
I get tired.
It's all good. What? All right. My next book is Impossible Jones, number 2. As you guys might remember, I really, really enjoyed the first one of these.
It seemed hilarious.
It's a lot of fun. So in this issue, it kind of picks up, she's kind of on the run from all these cops. And in this issue, she really learns how to use her powers a lot. There's one scene where she's kind of like morphed behind a cop that she's kind of like standing behind. And then at another point, she like falls off a building and kind of turns into like a bouncy ball. And then goes into the river and falls into the river. She's all wet. And she's like, man, this would have been cooler if it would have been a swimsuit. And all of a sudden her suit turns into a swimsuit. And then she's like, man, this is kind of cold. I should wear a jacket. And it turns into like a pants jacket suit. And then we see like another dude who is kind of sitting on a park bench watching everything. And he kind of learns that he can like make holes in time and almost make like a Doctor Strange like portal type thing. So anyway, she goes to the guy that she thinks is the one that put her in the room with the Atom Smasher that kind of made her the way she is. And the guy like unloads like an entire clip into her, and she's just like, oh man, why am I against the wall? Why is it so hard to breathe? And she like kind of goes, and like all the bullets just like pop out of her chest because they just kind of stuck in and then bounce back. And she's like, oh, that's crazy. Like, and she kind of like morphed into the dude's chair. And then you find out that he's not actually the one that tried to kill her. She goes to find this other person who is like a detective that she was tried to help her in the first issue, and she's like, no, really, guns don't work on me, check this out. And she shoots herself in the head, and she's just like, ow, that's got to be the mother of all migraines. And then she just holds the gun to the cop and is like, your turn. She's like, no, I'm good. And then at the end, the next villain we'll see shows up, and he is called the Saint of Knives, and he kind of has like a bowler hat and like kind of looks a little more, he kind of looks more like a more British-y version of like Captain Boomerang, but with like a bowler hat. So, I'm interested to check it out, but this one was really mostly her figuring out her powers, and it was a lot of fun. It was very funny to read and check out as she did that. I'm really digging this book. It's just so much fun that I recommend it to people. So,
and that's Scout Comics.
It is Scout Comics. Yes.
So make sure, I don't know how all the other stores are ordering. I know I don't think we order a bunch of them. So make sure you request it in case, or look for the FOC thing too on Comic Hub, because you can get it off of there. That way you get in time to get it. So
yeah, that's the best way to do it, to make sure that you for sure get something, is to get it in before FOC. So
yeah,
cool.
we're going to talk about this book. So this is actually, hold on. Let me go back here. Get both photos. Boom and boom. Oop, go back, you son of a bitch. I mean, we're good. No technical difficulty.
What? Hey,
timeless. What? So, what? Hey, this book. All right. So this book is, the way I took it, is a Kang story. I'm guessing he's going to be very relevant this coming year for Marvel, given everything that happened in Loki.
I really want, if they do the Young Avengers thing, to have Iron Lad and show how he turned into Kang at the end. I really want that, I would love that.
This is kind of like along the lines of that Incoming book that they did a couple years ago, that kind of was like, hey, we're going to be doing this Empire story, but here's also these little events that are going to be happening throughout the year. So you get this Kang story where he meets up with this writer. I think he's a doctor at a college, and he studies superheroes and villains. And he wrote this piece on how Dr. Doom is the greatest villain the world has ever seen. And Kang shows up and goes, you wrote this piece. And the guy goes, well, I just finished writing it. He goes, but you will write it. And I think you're wrong. And I want to take you with me so I can show you why you're wrong about Dr. Doom. So he takes him throughout time and is showing him some different things that he has done throughout time. And they go back to his base, which the name of it is kind of escaping me right now, but it's a very Kang Chrono title. I think it was, maybe it was Chronosphere. But anyways, while they're there, he starts talking to this, this doctor, about some of the things that are coming, to light. And this is the part that was very interesting to me. The story for the most part was kind of boring. It's just Kang kind of like tooting his own horn a lot. So for an oversized issue, it was a little much, but there were some cool things that they showed here. So, you know, the first one, I can do a pen on this? No way, that's so sick. I mean, I knew how this worked all along, people. So the first thing is over here. Look at this. I feel like I'm doing like play-by-play. So we got, football. Okay, so he's going to run a route pattern here. And anyways.
And then boom, there it is.
Watch out. Boom. Watch out, Jay Caulfield.
I feel like you're doing a John Madden tribute.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Yeah, because we lost him.
Lost him. Boom. There it is.
Boom. Young Avengers, I guess maybe are coming back. Is kind of a thing here. But then we're going to hop over here. And this was kind of interesting. I don't know if this is out of the Thunderbolts, but it very much looks like Taskmaster. Dressed like Captain America. So I thought that was kind of interesting to see what comes out of that. And then up here, this looks like this is going to be something that spins out of the Strange Academy, because you got Dormammu's son taking down Dormammu. You have the Ben Reilly stuff up here, which is showing him in Hollywood. In the most recent issue of Spider-Man, Peter Parker finally is waking up from, he's been out almost this whole time in the hospital. And I think if I'm getting this right, Ben Reilly has a book that's coming out. Maybe he's thinking he needs to distance himself from Peter. So maybe he kind of pulls a Daredevil from the Mark Waid run and goes over to like the West Coast. And becomes like the West Coast Spider-Man.
Kind of like how Kane beat with Scarlet and went to Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then you've got up here some hints about, the new Iron Fist, which we knew about. The stuff with the moon. I don't think we've really seen anything with that yet in Moon Knight, but I'm sure that's to come. You also have the Iron Man thing here. So if you didn't know, that's Iron Man. Iron Man is now like a god. He's like the god of technology or something along those lines. This one intrigued me a lot because I know there's a Black Cat Mary Jane book coming out, and that very much looks like Black Cat as like, or Shuri as the Black Panther, and then maybe Mary Jane as Spider-Man. So that'll be interesting to see. And then we've also got kind of right here, I don't know if you can see it, but Jack of Hearts is there, and we haven't seen him since Bendis killed him. I think he's supposed to come back in the She-Hulk series.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And then up here we've got the Punisher with his new logo, because it has, the current logo has been abused, and they have decided to give him a new logo, although that one looks really cheesy to me. Supposedly it ties into the Hand storyline. I don't know if he's going to be like the leader of the Hand, but there's something going on there with him and the Hand. And then the last one, which kind of like just blew me away, was that one. Looks like Bucky Hawkeye taking down Cap. Yeah.
Is that Bucky or Hawkeye? I can't tell from this tiny Bucky screen.
He's got the, okay, he's got the star and okay, the arm. So, some interesting things that came, look like they're being hinted at here. So excited to see what's going to be happening this year for Marvel, as well as everybody else. But when they lay it out like that, that's a lot of fun to have some of those things teased, just to get an idea of like what's coming for the year. Yeah. It's like reading a preview magazine that has a story.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. My final book, boom, is Nightgenic. The instructions for making a proper offering to a forgotten gods. This book was okay. Wasn't anything great. The art was fun. It's kind of like a, I don't even know how to explain this story. It's like high fantasy, but it's also like kind of tongue-in-cheeky kiddie style art. And humor, but it's not like, not really. It's almost like a Rick and Morty vibe to it, if, of like a high fantasy thing. So what? Wow. Man. Come on.
wait. I was writing all the things down so we could, so it's fantasy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's use humor.
Yeah.
Kitty.
Yeah.
Tongue in cheek.
Yep.
Rick and Morty.
Yep. That's probably the best way I can put it. You know, like I think RPG people will like it.
I had way too much fun with that.
Yeah. Yes, you are. So
I erased them all. Sorry.
It's okay. Overall, I enjoyed it though. It's just kind of like the main character there on the front, kind of goes into a town, and eventually, the little girl that's there, she ends up doing like running into him, I guess, and like they somehow, like, it ends up where they basically have to fight that big worm at the end.
Yeah.
So, interesting, not super awesome, but I dug it. So,
Dan just reminded me, I forgot something at the end of that Timeless book.
Yeah.
That guy who was following him and chronicling all his things.
Is it Mark Waid?
On the last page of his book.
Yeah, it looks like Mark Waid. That's what I'm saying.
Is the Miracle Man logo.
Oh.
And they're teasing Miracle Man or Marble Man.
Like Marble Man. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, we can take bets on this. some people think, well, they didn't finish the Neil Gaiman run and it's the 40th anniversary. Maybe they're finishing that. I know Donnie Cates loves this character, loves him. I would not be surprised if he is writing it or at the very least involved in some way. So
I would not be surprised at all with that. Yeah. Do I care? No.
Yes, that's the thing is I don't know much and I don't care, but can they make me care?
Well, the thing that will make me care is the fact that we have like, I don't know, a couple hundred like foiled John Tobelman signed, some Neil Gaiman signed, old school, Mr. Miracle books floating around, or Marvel Man, Miracle Man floating around the company, the Eclipse stuff. So if anyone's interested in those, you let us know. They come with certificates of authenticity.
Yes.
Let's see if they actually boost back up in price. Oh, look at that.
About a vision that he had. We'll see. I mean, if they can make me care, about it. I think if anybody could, Donnie Cates could make me care about it. He made me care about a man with Alzheimer's who stole God's sword. So, okay. Dog Days, Stray Dogs, Dog Days. I thought this was a one shot. This is like the next. This is the next. Mini,
yeah.
This is a bunch of mini stories that follows each of the dogs from the first volume, and it tells their story. It opens up with a little card that says who they are, and it's their missing kind of flyer that would be hung up on a telephone pole. And you're getting a little bit of a background about the dog, and getting to see as it goes through their owners getting kidnapped or getting killed. So you're getting a little bit of a buildup. So my guess is this entire thing here is kind of going to build up to be a prequel-ish kind of thing to the first volume, where the first volume, we just knew after the first issue or so that this guy had killed people and stole the dogs as trophies. Now we're getting a little bit of a buildup in these short mini stories of all these pets. And I think that's going to, it's revealing how these people were killed and how this guy, you know, got all these dogs. Cool. So pretty neat, pretty fun stuff. Maybe I hope it just ends with like him in court and they have like a dog on the witness stand, like testifying. it's obviously not going to happen, but
I kind of hope it ends with all the dogs eating him. So
yeah,
that'd be cool. So.
But all right. It was a fun one. So make sure you get it and support Tony and Trish. And Tony has on his website, it's like $40. You can get a blank cover and a special foil cover package of the first one. So go check out his website, Tony Fleece website, and pick that up. So
cool. I did email Trish to see if they want to come back on the show, but I've not heard any responses. So
yeah, I had sent her a message as well and hadn't
I think she's just busy cranking out that book. I'm not gonna poke. I'll poke like once a month. So
yeah.
All right. So now it's the point where we talked about it last week. We talked about doing like a top 10 or just not highlights in it. Yeah, like 10 highlights of cool shit that happened in 2021.
Yeah.
And Tim and I have not discussed what's on each other's lists yet.
Yes.
So we'll go back and forth. And if we both have the same one, we'll just knock it off there and then it'll be a little shorter. We don't need to discuss things super hard, but I think just mentioning some things. Now, these can be like comic book news or a specific story thing that happened, or it could be like a run that happened. So, or just a personal favorite that happened for you this year. So the start of my list was that King in Black happened.
Yep.
And that was crazy because that was like the biggest Venom storyline we've had
ever, probably.
Yeah, I was gonna say since like Maximum Carnage, which was, yeah. You know, the Carnage Venom thing back in the day. So yeah. That was super cool. While I'm not like a super huge Venom fan, I know you're more of a Donny Cates fan versus a Venom fan.
No, I like them both. I mean, I have I've been working on getting my Venom collection because I have his whole run with multiple issues of stuff, and then I have a lot of the minis, and I just got from a collection that we had the Tooth and Claw miniseries, which I never really see anywhere. I feel like it's probably not a high print run or something. So
it's
I do like Venom, and then I did see just a pointer, they're bringing back what's his name, Dave Michelini, who did the first Lethal Protector. He's coming back and he's doing a new Lethal Protector miniseries.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, not to go too far into it, but yeah, I do.
Sorry.
That was awesome. That was the King of Black stuff was great.
I thought it was cool because the way they weaved it into everything, it didn't like overpower the other stories. They just worked it in and then it was out and it was just whoop done. So
yeah. Cause a lot of times those, once you cross over into like everybody's books, it just like bogs it down for 2 to 3 months before it can get back to the pace it was at. So,
right.
My first one is Hickman and Tinian leaving and going, you know, their respective companies and going to Substack.
Oh yeah, I didn't have that on my list at all.
Yeah, so that's
huge
because they were both writing really great books. I mean, for big companies, so they're leaving and going to this Substack, and we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah. I haven't really heard much more from Substack.
I haven't either.
Since then. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. I have Immortal Hulk ended. And while, again, I wasn't a huge Hulk, I've never been like a big Hulk guy outside of like the Peter David, Mr. Fix-It stuff. Mostly because it was Peter David. I thought this was significant because that run was so loved by so many people. And it really, I thought it ended well and led into, you know, the stuff Cates is doing that's just as weird. I thought it was very good. I thought it was probably the best Hulk we've had in a long time of regular Hulk.
Yeah. I had that on my list too, because that was, I think we talked about it before, that was like, I had been working here for a few months and then the first issue came out and I read it and loved it. And that was like the first book that I started recommending to people, that people were picking up and loving it. And it made me feel like, oh man, I'm not just like this guy that likes books. Like I actually have opinions that like other people are sharing them. And so, yeah.
5 years later. I had that.
Yeah. 5 years later and ended up being done with it. So
cool. All right, what's your next
one? So this is just a little note that I thought was interesting. Since House of Slaughter has started, there has not been a new issue of Something is Killing the Children. And I think that's kind of interesting because that book was just going full steam ahead. It's had buzz since issue one. So for the fact that they're going to be like, hey, here's House of Slaughter, and then that just stops that run, like, that's kind of bold. So, yeah.
Well, maybe they didn't want to, like, oversaturate their own fan base,
maybe? Yeah, because it is an indie book. So you start talking about an indie book that has, you know, two or three different spinoff titles, then maybe you start to lose some interest, you know, from some people. But, yeah. So it's just kind of interesting.
Cool. My next thing was the announcement that Saga was finally coming back.
Yeah.
Like that's another very big fan favorite book.
2019.
Huge. Been waiting for this since 2019. Well, since what should have been this last summer was when it was supposed to come back. Because it was supposed to be early 21 that it came back. So, very excited, very, very excited for that. Everything looks fantastic. I'm super pumped. So,
yeah,
Yep. Go for it.
I had Ed Pisker's Red Room just basically breaking Fantagraphics. Just everything, every record, every sales total that they've ever had. Him just coming in and doing Ed things and just shattering all of that. And then now keeping the buzz going because he's got that second volume that's coming out. So I don't know when, you know, I hope he has a window in his room because I don't know when he sees sunlight. So that guy's.
He usually works in his living room and there is some light that comes through the front, but there is a little porch. So only like wee hours of the day does light come in the front.
Well, whatever light comes in is blocked from those shades because we all know he wears those shades.
Oh yeah, he wears them all the time. Yeah,
he wears them to bed. I just it's gonna sound weird. I just picture him in the shower from the waist up.
We're naked,
peachy,
and then
with just the sunglasses and the hat.
Yeah, I can see that. I could see that. That'd be funny. Because you don't often see him without his hat on at all. Like a
no,
hat.
You really don't. So yeah, that's like seeing me without my hat on.
It's weird.
Yeah.
All right. I had the mutants finally got to own a planet, and we had a planet-sized X-Men special that was that ridiculously funny. That actually worked out. That Asteroid M became a planet. You know, like that.
So it's
that
Mars.
Whole
it's
idea.
Mars that's the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like it's like Asteroid M, but a planet.
Oh, okay.
Size.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just find that whole concept just awesome. Because it's just kind of like, well, screw you, humanity. We'll be over here.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I loved about it. So.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. I remember when they were teasing that, and Hickman was like, this is like the next big, you know, this is giant size X-Men level.
Yeah.
And he's kind of not wrong. So, my next one is kind of to piggyback off of the X-Men stuff. Is out of all the stuff that happened that just wrapped up in the Trials of Magneto, Wanda now has this power to basically bring back anybody, resurrect anybody, and Thunderbird's coming back.
Again?
This guy, Thunderbird's coming back, and he's going to be back. So I think that's really cool. There were some designs for a new costume. And I just think it would be cool. I'd love to see like a brother team up.
Right. Like Thunderbird and Thunderbird and
Warpath.
Warbird.
Yeah. Warbird. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that'll be interesting. So I thought Warbird was dead too.
I don't think now he is.
Okay. I think because the last time I think I saw him was like he died in like Uncanny X-Force maybe.
Yeah, but I think he's been back since they started being able to resurrect people. I don't remember exactly what the reason was. There was a list of people that there was issues trying to bring them back. I don't know if it was they had been dead so long so that Xavier didn't have a backup of them. That might be what it was. So it is cool that she's going to, you know, be able to bring him back. And that'll take me, after you do yours, to what my next one is.
Okay. My next one is the Aftershock book Nuclear Family, because I just thought that storyline of like basically like a bomb, like a people go in their bomb shelter and the power goes out and then they get the power back on and they're in this alternate universe and they're the only house that didn't get hit and it's X amount of years later and they don't have any record of these people and it's like a wasteland. I thought that was like very Stephen Kingy to me, and I really thought it was probably one of the best written books I've seen this year. So so that's it for me.
My this will be the last X-Men one. Next year they're doing Immortal X-Men. It's a book, and I'm like when I first heard that I was like, this is like, you know, are they just trying to like kind of grab that Immortal Hulk? But it makes sense to the stuff that just happened with Scarlet Witch. Just that announcement of Immortal X-Men, I'm interested to see, you know, what that is. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're basically turned the X-Men into the Eternals this year anyway. So
yeah,
for the last couple of years. So whatever. Yeah. My next one is the Beta Ray Bill miniseries because it was so fucking badass.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And if you haven't read that, you really need to get that because it's so freaking good.
Yeah. So. I feel comfortable calling him our buddy now.
Yeah, I agree. He is our
buddy, D-Dubs.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And if you haven't watched him on Fridays, he does Drawing with D-Dubs on his YouTube. And it is so entertaining. Like, I'm watching, he's like starting to draw. And then he's like, hold on, guys. I'll be right back. And then you just hear like clanging and stuff in the background. And he's like, oh, yeah, some good YouTube show, right? I ain't even drawing. God, you guys are probably going to leave and hate me. I'm like, it's so entertaining. So,
Man.
Yeah.
Well, that's like that's like the people that they like watch people eat. They just, just like, it's like on Twitch where they can just watch people eat.
Yeah.
Crazy.
mine was Spider-Man No Way Home box office totals, just not only the movie itself, but just like,
I mean, I will allow it. I was mostly trying to focus this in actual comics, but
I was too,
but I will allow it. So
huge,
considering it is the highest grossing Sony movie ever, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And their second highest one was the previous Spider-Man, I think. So it's like, of course they're going to keep working with Marvel because Marvel just gave them in the last like 6 years, their two highest grossing movies ever. So
But yeah, whatever they got to share, who cares, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. My next one was Stray Dogs Volume 1. I think it started in 2020, but it definitely ended in 2021 and was a lot of fun. You know, and it's been like one of the hottest books of the year. Every con I went to, I saw all the covers everywhere, all of them. And I'm like, thank God I got them off the shelf.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you hear Ed on his show talk about the kayfabe effect.
Mm-hmm.
I just think this is the Tim and John effect. You know, we had them on and
they
blew up overnight. I mean, you know, they were very talented, but we definitely got the word out there. So it's just what we do.
At least in our market. At least in our market.
Yeah.
We'll give them that. So,
yeah. I didn't have any more written down, but I'm going to think of one off the top of my head really quick.
I got three more, so.
I'm going to think of, go do your next one, and I'll think of another one while you do next one.
My next one is The Return of the Milestone Universe and how that was very important for diversity and also just, you know, good stuff. It was cool to see like Hardware and Icon and Static Shock, I think, is not back yet, but coming. Excuse me. Whew. Sorry. Like I said, it's been a long day. But it was really great to see Milestone kick back into the fold. I loved Icon back in the day because he'd always show up in like weird Justice League stories. So that's where I liked him from. So.
Mine, I will go with Prophet, number one, being a book that people care about all of a sudden. Does it make me laugh? Yes. Does it make me want to throw up? Yes. But still, you can't deny these books have been sitting there forever in dollar bins, and now people care. So, you know. Let the hunt begin. We've got tons of dollar books. Come search them.
So, side note off that comment. So, I'm curious to think now that if Todd would have just sorted and had all the issues that he ever put into like Ollie's and Five Below,
yeah,
would he have made more, less, or the same amount of money with the books that now would have been super hot that were in there,
yeah,
versus just unloading all the bulk? Think about that.
Probably would have made more.
I think it would have been about the same, to be honest.
But I think that the buzz and having those books and people knowing that, like, that we're not just pulling everything out of dollar bins, you know, there's some hope for people that are coming and looking for cool stuff in the dollar bins. And I think that excites people. So,
okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Going back to the list, another amazing book that came out this year that I absolutely loved was Vinyl. Man, I love crazy serial killer books. And that is exactly what Vinyl is. It was the perfect brother series to Plastic. I'm really thankful we had Doug on at one point.
Tim and John Effect.
Again, Tim and John Effect, yeah. So good, yeah. So good. Go check out Vinyl. Go check it out. So
wait till 2 weeks from now when we have Maria Wolf on.
Ooh.
Tim and John Effect. You know,
Tim and John Effect. Another one. We're gonna have to tell her that. Be like, hey, it's the Tim and John Effect. It happens.
Yeah. Like you're gonna get busy. You're gonna get some phone calls after this.
Yeah.
My next one's more personal, and it's just going to be my venture into omnibuses and how it has destroyed my wallet. So it has started this year. I have probably 12 of them, and I probably have a trillion more on order, and they are great. And I don't know why I love them so much, because it's all stuff that I have the issues of, or that I could just go read on the Marvel Universe app because I have a sub.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there. And now we're carrying a bunch at some of the stores. So
yeah. Well, that whole phase has come back in since a lot more people are working from home and kind of getting back into things and want to read full big stuff. So I get it.
Graphic novels has really blown up in the last 2 years.
Yeah. So my last thing, which is just kind of cool in general for comics, but the Spawn Universe expansion. Like that's pretty cool. I mean, we hadn't had a secondary Spawn book outside of Spawn since Sam and Twitch.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is a big deal. And I really thought it was awesome. I was really happy for McFarlane that happened. And, the book seemed to be doing pretty good. So,
yeah.
All right. So, do you have anything else? Do you have any? Was that your last one?
That was my last one.
Okay. So, then it's time to say we're going to talk about Boba Fett. So, if you don't want spoilers, we'll see you next year.
We're getting ready and
get out.
4, 3, 2, 1. Spoilers. Here we go. Boba Fett.
I really enjoyed this first episode. It was nostalgic enough for me with the throwbacks to Kamino and the throwbacks to the Sarlacc pit. Plus, it was kind of cool to start to see his storyline from where he climbs out of the pit to... where he's, where we saw him at the end of the Mandalorian second season, and how he's adjusting to being the new Fortuna / Jabba the Hutt, depending on which era you want to look at. I really thought it was pretty much right where I expected it to be. I think the second episode is going to be a lot like crazier, but I thought this was very good. So.
I thought it was so bad and I hated it so much, except for, I think the one thing that saved it, and she wasn't even amazing in it, was Fennec Shand, by Ming-Na Wen was awesome. I mean,
yep.
Compared to the other stuff, but I'm just, it's like, I didn't care about Boba Fett before. We're talking about a guy who was like just a terrible bounty hunter, right? He was a terrible bounty hunter, and he flies off into some sand butthole, and then he gets trapped there for 40 years of our lives. And then we see him at the end of the last Mando season. And then, spoiler alert, he climbs out of it. Who cares, right? He climbs out. And it's just like, to me, it was like this, you, if you like Boba Fett, I think you liked this, this episode. If you didn't like Boba Fett, I don't think this did anything to change your mind, because to me, it was just like really boring. The fight scenes looked really slow that he was in when they were in the shield, like he was like just blocking and looked very slow. So I, you know, if it was me, I would rather see, like, let's say, Bo-Katan in some kind of a series that's like the War on Mandalore or something like that. Yeah. I would rather see something like that. So this just, I don't know. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see how it goes. But I think that the hype of Boba Fett, you know, just comes from this thing that people are like, oh, Boba Fett's so amazing because haven't you read the other books? Well, yeah, but guess what? Those aren't canon. So it's all erased, right. And it comes back to this lame dude that fell in the sand pit and got eaten up and, like, yeah.
Somehow I kind of feel like my nostalgic love for Boba Fett, which I don't have a lot of, is in me liking this episode, is kind of like your nostalgic love for all the Spider-Man stuff and how you loved No Way Home last week.
Probably.
And how we kind of, like, I didn't hate No Way Home by any means. I just didn't hold it as high as Endgame that a lot of people thought. Like, I was like, it's like top 10, but not top 5 Marvel movies for me, as where you're like, it's like the second, first or second one, you know?
Yeah.
So,
first.
But, but I also think that this is exactly why we have the fandom we do.
Yeah.
And it works out.
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. I thought Ming-Na Wen's character's fight scenes in it were amazeballs. I also really liked, the Jessica Biel scenes. Like, I thought those were cool. Like, she's the person running the,
is she,
brothel thingy, I think.
Oh
yeah. Hmm. I'm pretty sure that's who her character was.
Somebody told me that they worked in a speech or at some point part of Patton Oswalt's Star Wars filibuster from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
So I have to go look and see if I can find that and what part it is, because if they did, that's absolutely amazing that they worked in like his theories and stuff into that show. So,
right.
Yeah.
I really just thought the whole thing was just well done as a first episode. I
thought
gave
it was short. You know,
that was pretty good. It was 40 minutes.
It was 38. It was the clock time, but that's, you know, there's 10, 12 minutes of like credit. So when we got the first episode of Mandalorian, I want to say it was like 52, 55 minutes, something like that. So yeah, it wasn't the typical, like they do with Marvel where they drop the first two episodes and then do the rest for the next 4 weeks. But I thought it could have been a little bit longer, and maybe had it been, maybe they could have, hit on some things. Now, the other thing too that I was telling some people was, maybe for me, this episode was always going to be a little boring because you knew right off the bat that they had to hit on how he got out.
Yeah.
And I just didn't care how he got out. I didn't, because I wanted him to stay there. So maybe now that that's out of the way, maybe now we can move into something. Maybe I can enjoy it. I did think it was very weird that he's like, you know, oh no, I'm going to rule by respect, not by fear. So heads up, you're a crime lord, and fear is how you get the respect. So maybe you're just not really good at bounty hunters or crime lords, and you should go for a third swing, and we'll see what you get.
Maybe this will be
it. Who knows?
So yeah, but, I think the mayor that he was talking about is going to play a piece. I'm think interested the sand to people see that. Are going to play a piece.
The sand we'll people were probably the best part of the whole episode because it was like, wow, there's like some character and there's some stuff there to the sand people that like I never knew I cared about. Kind of like with the Jawas in the Mando season when we got to see more of them with the egg and everything. So that was kind of cool to see that with the sand people. But the mayor thing, that guy was very, I enjoyed watching that guy kind of like come and present himself.
Yeah.
And like the arrogance that he had about him.
Yep.
So I'm very interested to see like who the mayor is of what is it? Mos Ebris, Ebris, Ebra. I have to look again.
But it's Eastos not Mos Eisley or something. It sounds like Eisley, but it's not. It's Astos or Estos or something like that. I thought anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check it out. I think it was very good. We'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll do each episode. So
yeah,
see how they go.
So far,
but right now, like
super spoilery or super crazy. It was still, but for a first episode, I dug it. I think I'm gonna like it. It still felt very Mandalorian. It still felt like it felt the most Mandalorian meets classic Star Wars that I've seen yet. So
I think the thing that for me that helped it feel more Mando was the music. You could tell was definitely kind of pulled from there. Overall, I'm going to give the first episode a D. I'm going to hold out hope for a new hope of of future episodes. And I will give it a fair shot and watch it and watch it with an open mind. Because like I said, I don't like Boba Fett. But I didn't like really any of the Mandalorians going into the first season and wasn't thinking I was going to like it. And now, like, hooked on that, and I have more respect for the Mandalorian story arcs that they did in Clone Wars, and that's becoming some of my favorite stuff. So I will watch it with an open mind.
So. I would probably give it a B-. So
okay.
All right. All right, guys. Well, have a great new year. Be safe. We will see you in 2022. Also, don't forget to check out the guest list for the con because I added Daryl Banks, Justin Jordan, and a couple other people, which is pretty awesome. So I do still have some tricks up my sleeve. So don't.
We're at 90. Where are we at? 97. 96. Now? I think we had somebody. Hold on, let me see. We're at 97.
Oh, nice.
So we need three more. Tell three every more. Person you know. Just subscribe to it. Three more, and somebody's gonna get $100 gift card. And it would be really cool to be able to do that for the first episode of the new year. To go into the new year with 100.
Yep.
So if you're watching this, tell everybody you know, Ron. Sign up for four different YouTube accounts, like them all.
Dan, same thing
for you, Dan. but yeah, I think that would be great. That'd be a great way to start the new year with 100 people and giving away a $100 gift card to somebody.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys. So, thanks so much. We'll see you in 2022. Be safe if you're going out for New Year's Eve and stay healthy, guys. All right.
All right. Bye, guys.
Later.